Greetings and God bless you. We are the generals and the boss prophets, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly word of supernatural empowerment.
We decree that by the power of God, that what you are about to hear will shift you into your new season. Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
God bless you. We love you. God bless everyone on the line. All of our visitors, all of our members and partners. God bless you this beautiful day. And I'm telling you, we are in for a treat. I told you there will be a part two of making prayer a priority. And we are about to go right into it. I'm telling you, even as I speak, get your pens, your paper, your pads. Start recording because it is going to be phenomenal. And I just, before we go forward, want to just thank everyone again for all of your love for my birthday. As a matter of fact, I'm still getting love for my birthday. I'm still receiving your gifts. Thank you so much for your shoes. Yes, for your clothes, for your gift cards, for your seeds of honor. Thank you for the messages and the texting and the inboxing, for the emails. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Even to some special sons and daughters, they know that I love precious metals. So thank you for the gold bars. Thank you for the silver bars. Thank you for the copper. I'm telling you, guys are phenomenal. And I just wanted to say thank you for your heartfelt love and cards as well. So thank you again. And this, of course, I'm speaking and decreeing over all of it, over all your love, all of your efforts and honor, that God will bless you for taking time out of your day and your substance to bless and honor and lay it at my feet. May God bless you for that. And you will be blessed. I can guarantee that for those of you all who have taken the time to honor me on this special day. So God bless all of you all. We are going to go right into the message. Lord, even now, prepare the hearts of the people. Lord, I ask that you would allow us to receive what it is that you want to speak to us, that we would not just be hearers of your word, but be doers. That we, Lord, will allow this to touch our hearts and transform our minds. And Lord, I thank you right now as we go forward into the message in Jesus' name. Let all of hearts say amen. 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 Yes. So get ready. We're going to learn today about making prayer a priority. We're going to learn about the rewards of making prayer a priority. The rewards. We're going to talk about some personal things. I'll give and share some of my personal testimonies. We're going to talk about God and what prayer requests will God actually answer. He doesn't answer all prayer requests, but I can place you in a position that will allow God to answer your prayer requests. So we're going to learn what prayer requests God does answer. We're also going to learn what gives weight to your prayers, what anchors your prayers, and you'll see why that's important. And we're going to learn the dangers of a big mouth. Oh, yes. Can't talk about making prayer a priority and not touch on the big mouth. So we're going to talk about the dangers of a big mouth. But we're going to also talk about the value, how to become more valuable to God. I don't know about you, but if you want more favor, if you want more doors open, you got to be more valuable to God. And there is such a thing. So we're going to talk about that. So without further ado, we're going to jump right into it. I cannot go over what happened the last time I spoke this when I started part one, but it is on our website. So I want you to go on the website and listen to part one. If you have missed it, you missed something phenomenal. This is part two. So it is going to be amazing. I'm going to start right where I left off about meeting God in the morning. I started to break down the coolness of the day, meeting God early in the morning, because making prayer priority is a system. There is a procedure and there is a process, even in the time of day you meet him. So making a priority of prayer when you meet him in the morning, there are benefits to that. And part of that is he reveals to you things that may be impending for that day. So let's jump right into it. I'm going right in now.
When we meet with the Lord in the morning, he prepares us for the day ahead, because he and only he alone knows what awaits us. He may strengthen us for a difficult situation, or he might prepare us to accept a new challenging opportunity. I used to tell people on the line here, I say, when I wake up in the morning, I say, Lord, how can I prove myself unto you? Each and every day that we've not lived before is giving us an opportunity to prove our faithfulness unto the Lord. How? Through our obedience. When you seek the Lord in your prayer time, he gives us, like I said before, strength for a difficult situation that lies ahead. A lot of us, like my mom used to say, we get caught with our panties down. So a lot of us, when we go through our day, we give God a little, amen, thank you, Jesus, thank you for waking me up this morning. And then you go on, rush off to work, and then you get to work, and you wonder why your boss is down your throat. You wonder why your coworker's talking about you. We get so many calls. I just want to quit today, Apostle. Can you pray for me? I can't stand my job. My coworker's messing with me, blah, 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 blah. But like, I'm thinking, you know what? If people would take the time to really spend time with God in the morning, he will already grace you and strengthen you and give you head up of how to fight that attack that is going on your job. But instead you get caught like a deer in headlights and you don't even know how these attacks are coming and hitting you upside the head and you are left unprotected. When you pray, you put on the armor of God. He put on the helmet of salvation. He puts on all of these different things on your body spiritually and supernaturally so that when you go into the battlefield, you won't get left, and you won't be feeling like, oh, my gosh, I got all of these flesh wounds now because the enemy will pick me apart. Why? Because you weren't even prepared for the day because you didn't make prayer a priority.
Amen. Yes.
I know what I'm teaching is right. I know what I'm teaching is correct. This is how God taught me. We would not have the ministry that we have if it wasn't for myself and Andrew spending time, quality time with God. Now, you all may not start off like we did, but we went hard. Let me tell you something. I was working over 40 hours. I wouldn't even get home to 8 o'clock. By 11 o'clock, me and Andrew will be in our living room praying all the way through the night to 6 a.m. I will finish prayer, and I will go straight into the bathroom, shower, brush my teeth, and go straight to work. Didn't sleep a wink, but I spent all night praying unto the Lord.
True. Amen.
And you want to know why we don't have to spend 12 minutes, come out in the name of Jesus. Breathe in the name of Jesus. Come out, Satan. Satan, you are a liar. You are a liar. And you wonder why all we got to do is tell you to drink a cup of water and it is gone.
Hey!
Ooh, my God, Jesus.
Do you really want to know how we can breathe over the phone? It's not our breath, but it's the breath of the living Father. But how can he even breathe through us and cause your ailment to dissolve immediately? You really want to know how we can
come on now.
He nailed you a miracle cloth. Cut it up with some scissors. Tore it up with some by my hand. Prayed over it. Sent angels to manifest with it as we ship it to Africa. We've shipped it to Denmark. We've shipped it over the cross of the nations in America. And they can put it on their wallet. They can put it on their knee. They can put it on their stomach. And pain dissolves. Financial increases come. You really want to know how we're able to do all of these things.
My God.
With minimum effort. Without screaming and spitting at the mouth. Come out of here. You want to know how people can speak in their heavenly language, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and nobody has to lay hands on them. You really want to know? Read our Facebook messages on our wall. Read our, go to our KCI fan page. Thank God we got one now. All of the messages that we have on there, go to our website and hear, listen, watch, read the testimonies of 30,000 increase, of how loved ones are getting locked, they were locked in jail or being released. You really want to know how these miracles are happening, not just once, not just twice. We got so many miracles, I don't even know how to keep a handle on the testimony. I got testimonies coming in that I can recycle testimonies daily throughout the year and never have to repeat them.
All right.
You want to know? It's because we paid the price. We locked into some revelation that, oh, little prayer, little power. But much prayer, much power. Matter of fact, it's more than much power. It's the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And you got some people out here. And I'm a young woman. I'm not afraid of my age. I'll stand toe-to-toe to a six-year-old. You would never make me feel ashamed that God has used me in such a young age. Look at Solomon. Solomon was a teenager when he entered to be a king. A king. Read your Bible. This is scriptural. God uses young people. But unfortunately, the young people, we've made our own society to say, oh, you're young. This is the time to make mistakes. This is the time to sow your royal oats. Oh, you're young. Nobody expects anything of you. You don't mature around 30, 40. By the end, it's too late. You could have been doing world-changing things. But because of society and the world, it tells you take your time to mature. No. God says, run after me with all your might, no matter your age, no matter your creed, no matter your ethnicity, your gender. He just wants a willing heart. So I'm a young woman. And it didn't take me long to reach where I am and where I am going, because I'm just scratching the surface what God has for me. But we unlocked that secret with desperation, and I mean we went hard, and we prayed.
Hallelujah.
Prayed all night long, days without going to sleep. I killed my flesh. The secret to God's glory is killing your flesh. I wanted to go out of town. I wanted to go on vacation. I wanted and had a taste for a certain thing for dinner, but I didn't let any of that. I said, no, I'm going to consecrate myself. I died to my own desires because there's a place in God that I'm trying to unlock.
Amen.
But it started with prayer. Let me slide my notes back in front of me. So some of you all can understand why our ministry is so supernatural. Now you are gifted with that answer. So if anybody does come to you and they want to know, what is it with this ministry? Nobody gets healed. No broken bones get healed like that. Nobody gets healed of diabetes and HIV or AIDS. Nobody gets miracle money in an ATM or in a bank account. You can say, no. Let me explain their testimony. See, because they know the power of prayer. They know the power of a real relationship. That's why our motto at KCI is it's all about relationships. We're telling you that. We're explaining that to you. It's all about relationships. How does the relationship come? Through prayer. Jesus teaches about prayer. When Christ taught his disciples to pray, he gave them and us a pattern to follow. For instance, if you don't know how to pray, and you're just starting off, then you can do what we call the Lord's Prayer. You can find that in Luke 11:1-4. That's the prayer everyone knows. Even children are taught that at a young age. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, etc. You know it. If you don't know, you can start off praying the way God prayed, the way Jesus prayed. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told us to ask, he told us to seek, and he told us to knock, expecting that we will receive an answer. And Matthew 7:11, he told us that he will help us understand that our Heavenly Father always gives what is good. Jesus used the example of an earthly father who would never give a snake to his son who asked him for a fish. In other words, he's saying, our Heavenly Father is smart. If you have a need, if you are standing in the need of a petition or something needing to be fulfilled or manifest in your life, he's saying that he will always give you what you need. It may not be what you want. See, this is where we divide the child from the mature. The child from the mature, because when you enter into now a prayer lifestyle, a prayer relationship, you got to now understand how God talks. And how he will always hear your prayer, but it may not be the response that you want. It may not be what you were asking for, but he will always give you what you need. And Jesus lets us know that. A lot of times people come to us, I did pray, but he didn't give it to me. I said, well, it must not have been meant for you to have it, because our God is perfect. If he really wanted you to get it, he knows exactly where to find you. He knows exactly where to find. You don't have to send out no BP. You don't have to send out no flare. He knows exactly where you are. He knows your phone number. He knows your area code. He knows your zip code. He knows your street address. He knows where you are at all times of the day. If he wants to give you a blessing, he knows how to find you in a parking lot of a Walmart. Jesus knows how to find you. So you don't even have to worry about that. He knows how to find you. Prayer is a communion with the Lord. We are meeting with him just to present a list of petitions. Remember I told you about having a complaining spirit, a complaining lifestyle. We think we got a prayer lifestyle, but really it's a complaining lifestyle. This is what God is talking about. Don't just come to me every single time with a list of petitions. This is where he's saying you're not meeting with me to say, okay, number one, I need you to give me $500 for my rent. Number two, Lord, I need you to give me a new car because my car's old. Number three, I'm having some aches and pain in my left shoulder, so can you heal me of that? Number four, Lord, you're not going to him with a list, and you think that's a prayer lifestyle, a prayer relationship, but it's a communion. You come to God and you give him your full attention. And amazingly, God wants to fellowship with us too. That's why we need to be unhurried. We need to have a time where we are unhurried and alone with him every day. This is why I told you, speaking in a car, awesome. I think it's wonderful. Wherever you can praise God, in a bathroom, in a car ride, in a grocery store, in aisle 12, I think that's amazing. But God still wants that quality time. Let's just put it like this, ladies, since we're the more romantic of the gender, would you want to date somebody that's going to be your future husband if every time they dated you, it was in a car? They would be talking to you on the phone while they're driving. Would you want to really spend your quality time instead of face-to-face, maybe in a nice surrounding, in a wonderful restaurant, but instead every time he calls you, he's in the car driving? And it's interrupted because maybe somebody cut him off, so he got to say, hold on, and he's honking his horn, and then he talks to somebody saying, can I get over, can I get over? I mean, it's just constantly interrupted by the stoplights, by the stop signs, and you got to merge, and, oh, man, I missed my exit, and you're in the middle of talking to him. You know how just not personal that is? So as women, if we don't want that to be happen to us, then why would we treat our husband like that, our true husband, the husbandman, which is Jesus? Why would we give him and think that that's acceptable for our only time with the Lord? That's good to do whenever you can, but to have quality time? No, that cannot be your only time with God. Prayer is empowered by faith. So Jesus taught that prayer and faith go together. And every time the Lord answers our request, our faith in him grows stronger. It grows stronger and stronger. But if we doubt him, our prayer is like a high-powered automobile without wheels. Neither one will go anywhere. If we doubt him, we can have the fastest car in the world, but without wheels, that car goes nowhere. You can spend all this time praying, but you got to understand that you can't doubt during your prayer time. You can't say, oh, Lord, I give it to you, and then by the time you say amen, you don't pick it back up and say, well, Lord, I'll take care of it. You got to be able to lay these things down before the Lord and give him time to work it out. And he will answer requests. God answers requests that are according to his will. When our petitions are compatible with Christ's teaching and are fitting for us as his followers, we can be certain that he will grant them. But there's a contingency. They got to line up with the will of God. You can't be asking God to give you $10,000 so that you can go ahead and go on a $10,000 vacation when you have other responsibilities and maybe even for the use of the kingdom of God. So a lot of this stuff that we're praying for, we got to make sure, what does God get out of it? Because in all things, God wants to make sure that he's getting something out of it too. If you're praying for an increase financially, and you're saying, Lord, I just want a financial breakthrough. I want to be debt-free. But then in your heart, you're not really giving God honestly, a blueprint of how you're going to spend all this extra money. Okay, I'll make you debt-free, but now that you're debt-free and you've got an extra $2,000 in your budget, how are you going to spend that? You're going to get your hair done, your nails done, your feet done? What, you going to buy new furniture? How are you going to, what are you doing to increase in the kingdom of God? Are you going to say, Lord, I'm going to write that book and I'm going to use the money from that to be able to self-publish my book so that it can reach the nation? Or, Lord, I want to be able to sow into this ministry because they're in good ground. I want to be able to help them put together whatever ministry they're going for in. I want to be a part of that. I want to be the forerunner of that. Lord, I want to be able to on the side, put together, help them feed the homeless. So I want to be able to secure some type of moving storage space so I can start collecting cans and non-perishable items. Now you're talking to the Lord about something. He wants you to have a vacation. I talk to the Lord all the time about a vacation because he wants me well-rested. I can't keep being effective coming before you all as you all unload on me your issues, and then I don't get a break. Even Jesus went to the mountain. He said there's time for vacation, but if all you want money for is to vacation and buy yachts or live a lavish lifestyle and you're not giving to those that are less fortunate, how can I get any glory in that? It turns into pride and self-righteousness. You now become selfish in your petition. So as long as your petitions are compatible with Christ's teaching and are fitting for us as his followers, we can be certain that he will grant them. Although we're not always able to distinguish whether our requests align with God's plans for us or whether our motives are right, the Lord will sift our prayers and answer them according to his wise choice. So God reads your heart, and he reads you. You may not understand that your petition is maybe one of a selfish one, but God knows. And he knows when those are intentional and unintentional. That's why we call God a wise judge. He judges us righteously. But he will assess, and he will then answer in his perfect time and release unto you what you need, people of God. We got to understand the scriptures are our anchors for prayer. Because you can't have one without the other. I'll just be honest. You can spend all your time praying, but you got to read the word too. Your scriptures are the anchors for your prayers. When we know what God has promised in his word, we can confidently ask him for it. So Jesus taught that when we have faith in the Lord and do not doubt, we will receive our request. You can find that in Mark 11, 22-24. In fact, he said, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted unto you. That's verse 24 in Mark 11, 22-24. When our petitions are according to God's will, we can be so confident in him that we'll be able to thank him for the answers before they become a reality. This is why we're on our prayer line, and we ask him, first off, do you believe that we are a man or a woman of God? Do you believe that the Lord works through this ministry? Because if they acknowledge that, then we believe their faith will be there to receive whatever we speak or decree in their life. So then they say, yeah, I believe, blah, blah, blah. So then we pray for them, and then at the end we say, give God your most radical praise. Some of you all have been on the line. Some of you all are probably guilty of it too. When we tell you to praise God, this is what we get. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And me and Andrew, we look at each other like, what in the world? That comes because of a lack of a prayer life. That comes a lack of understanding the promises that God has placed in his word. Because the more you know in his word, the promises that he's already prepared for you, you will understand that all you needed was somebody that can get a prayer through, to have actual prayer life, to agree with you, decree and declare over your life. Now you can thank God before it actually manifests. This is where your faith comes in. You are actually saying, thank you, Lord. I know it's coming. It's already not a shadow of a doubt there that it is going to happen for me. And you give God praise. But your praise is also a reflection of how strongly you believe. So we know that when people say, amen, hallelujah, amen, thank you so much, Apostle, and then they hang up, we're like, whoa, we know who isn't getting their miracle. Because with that being said, if they told us, You don't have enough faith. You are having doubt. We just wasted 2 minutes of our time decreeing and declaring over you for you to just go ahead and smack it back down to the ground and say, Lord, never mind. You ain't giving it to me because I don't even believe, because I can't even open up my big mouth and say hallelujah the right way in an appreciative form. This is why it's so important. It's all connected. You can't have one without the other. To have a prayer life, to know the word of God, and to know, and as you know the word of God, you learn who God is. You learn his many names and manifestations. You also, with that, learn his promises. It's the same. If God said, I'm Jehovah Rapha, isn't that like a promise? He said, I'm the Lord that heals you, Exodus 15 and 26. Mm-hmm. Isn't that basically a promise? He said, I am Jehovah Rapha. I will heal you. That is a promise unto you. Mm-hmm. So we decree and declare that in your life. We agree with you in the spirit because you don't even know the word, because you don't even know half of the promises that he told us. He said, you are the head, not the tail. You are above, not beneath. You are the lender, not the borrower. That's a promise. You can't even give God the glory for it. The Bible says another promise, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. It's another promise where God said his eyes upon the righteous and his ears are open unto the cry. I promise to watch you. I promise to see you. I promise to hear every petition you cry out to me on. That's a promise because we don't know our word and the many promises, thousands of promises in the word of God. That's why our faith is very low.
My God. Amen.
You don't even know the God that you're praying for. Why even believe in God in the first place? You don't have a prayer life. You don't read his word. You're not even curious to know who he is. But yet you want to get on my coattail. I think I posted that on Facebook. Get off my coattail then. Why are you riding on my prayer? See, this is where we get lazy Christians. They don't want to believe. They don't want to read. They don't want to fast. They don't want to tithe. They don't want to sow into the kingdom of God or support anything that has anything to do with God. But when a miracle, when they're in need of a miracle and they're in need of an emergency, what they'll do, they'll find somebody they can't get a prayer through, jump on their coattail, and they want me to do all the work. They want me over there banging on the floor, saying,
you
want me to take time out of spending time with my husband, spending time out of doing stuff for myself. You want me to take and waste time from other people that are really trying to live a holy lifestyle and make all hell come from your life and let heaven just rain upon you. See, that's what I mean by being a lazy Christian. Now, you're riding on the coattail of your mama's prayers or your grandma's prayers that didn't pass 10 years ago, and God has been knocking at your door saying, I come for you to know me personally now. It's time to grow up.
Right.
It's time to actually have a prayer life and not a complain life. It's time to make prayer a priority. It's time to learn who God is, the many manifestations that he manifests in, and his promises, so that you can stand flat-footed and decree and declare in your own life. So before you get on Facebook, before you get on the internet and start, you know this, let me not say nothing. I'm not going to say nothing, but I'm going to be very general. There's a person that we know that will fly from coast to coast. When I say coast to coast, I mean the west coast to the east coast. To follow after some of these people, I'm putting it so generic, they'll fly from coast to coast, state to state, spending money, wondering after all of these people who claim to have the glory of God, and they're lost themselves. They can't discern a lick or wick themselves. Because what you're doing is you're spending all this time following after the wonders, and you yourself are missing the main point. The wonders were not for you. The wonders are for those that don't believe to know that God can bring forth a miracle. The wonders are to excite those who already believe so that you can get to a point of excitement to say, I no longer want to fly from coast to coast to watch them do it. I myself can do it too. As long as I get in the place of seeking the Lord. He said, knock. He said, bang on that door. He said, seek me. He said, I will answer you. I will impart unto you. We will have a relationship. You will become a glory carrier, which means you will have a relationship with me. My presence will be encamped around you.
Come on now.
We know this word has supernaturally empowered you for this week. Now is the time to place your angels on an assignment. Yes, your angels. It is time to take authority and now decree what you want to manifest for you and your family on this week. Plant your seed in supernatural fertile ground today.
And you activate this word and make it supernaturally manifest by sowing your money seeds. The more you sow, the more miracles will begin to flow into your hands. Your palms will be filled up with overflow by visiting our website at www.kci.world.
That's www.kci.world, not .org, not .com, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. Again, that's www.kci.world. We are speaking life over you and your family, and we are excited about your now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name. This has been your weekly word of supernatural empowerment from the Generals.